following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and this is Crane's Daily Gist. Today, a conversation with Crane's Chicago Business commercial real estate reporter Danny Ecker about tensions around tall buildings that are planned in the Fulton Market District. Also today, an exclusive about the next stop for the Blues Brothers brand in the weed business. That's all coming up right after these stories. Amazon warehouse workers in Minnesota plan a six-hour work stoppage July 15th, which is the first day of Amazon Prime Day, and a sign that labor unrest persists even after the company committed to paying all employees at least $15 an hour last year. In Europe, where unions are stronger, Amazon workers routinely strike during big shopping events like Prime Day and Black Friday. But until now, Amazon's U.S. workers haven't walked off the job during key sales days. A brief strike occurred in the lead-up to Thanksgiving 2016 before a federal judge ordered them back to work, eliminating any disruptions during the peak holiday shopping season. While the planned strike will affect just one of Amazon's more than 100 U.S. warehouses, each typically employ a couple of thousand people, the unrest coincides with increasing political pressure on the company. Founded in 1905, the Chicago Defender leadership announced late last week that they'll stop printing physical copies of the publication next week and move to an entirely digital operation, ending a 114-year print newspaper legacy that includes being a key voice in the civil rights movement and documenting racial injustice. The CEO of Real Times Media, which is the Midwest-based newspaper chain that bought the Defender in 2003, told the Chicago Sun-Times that being a digital-only outlet will help the publication reach more people. Coming up, a look at proposed rising building heights and rising tensions in the Fulton Market area. Crane's Chicago Business commercial real estate reporter Danny Ecker will let us know what's up in this booming area. And a Crane's exclusive look at Jim Belushi's new role in the marijuana business coming up a bit later in the program. All that after this quick word from our sponsor. At Wintrust, the customer always comes first. You can be sure of that because Wintrust Community Banks were ranked highest in customer satisfaction with retail banking in the Midwest region by J.D. Power. At a Wintrust Community Bank, every person who walks through the door is important. Whether it's a kid opening their first savings account or a business looking for a loan, every relationship is valuable. Find a location that will put you first at wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. For J.D. Power 2019 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Today, I talked with Crane's Chicago Business commercial real estate reporter Danny Ecker about heightened tensions over plans for taller, and even taller buildings in the Fulton Market District, which is a neighborhood he and I have talked about quite a bit. Danny, this is a really interesting little pocket of the city because it's moving very quickly. It's changing shape and look very quickly. There's a lot happening there. You've been following it very closely. So what is the latest in Fulton Market?
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, just shifting going on there right now to become this, you know, it's a former meatpacking district now becoming this, you know, it has become a corporate destination for both big giants like Google and McDonald's and, you know, small cutting edge businesses that want to seem edgy and, you know, like that area over there. And then you got upscale restaurants and hotels coming in there. And so now, I guess the most recent phase, if you want to call it that, is, you know, we're starting to see some proposals for some pretty sizable and dense buildings there, mostly office buildings, but also some hotels and other uses. Just in the last couple months, we've seen probably about a half dozen buildings that would be close to 20 stories. And this isn't, you know, the part of Fulton Market that is right along the highway and closer to the skyline that might blend in. I mean, these would stick out. This is sort of changing the physical character of this neighborhood, you know, which I guess was somewhat expected because this was the direction the neighborhood is going. But, you know, now it's really starting to set in. Not all of these have been approved, but, you know, they're on the table and they're moving through the community process. And if they are approved, you know, the height of Fulton Market is going to look pretty different in a few years.
And it seems like there's some tension building around this a little bit, even as, and that's something I think we could have probably predicted, because when, as you said, we're kind of used to seeing these taller buildings on the eastern end of Randolph, closer to the highway. But then when we're starting to hear about proposed buildings right there at Ogden and Randolph, where Urban Belly and Belly Q sits now and over by Kaiser Tiger and all that, that seems very different to that area. And that seems like that's the kind of thing that gets the community going, well, wait a minute, you're changing too much too fast.
Right. And, you know, so the goal, like, I mean, the goal looking back at, you know, 2014 when the city created the Fulton Market Innovation District was, you know, let's reimagine this industrial corridor or part of the industrial corridor, the Kindy Industrial Corridor, and allow new commercial uses and relax zoning rules that allow for more height, more density. And then you had a couple years after that in 2016, the city rolled out the neighborhood opportunity bonus system, which basically allows developers to pay into a fund in exchange for being able to build taller, denser buildings. And, you know, so you kind of have seen, okay, well, this was going to happen. You're going to have bigger buildings here. But to your point, I mean, this is now, you have some longtime residents in the area, people who kind of want this neighborhood to, you know, kind of acknowledge it's changing, but they want it to still feel like a neighborhood, not an extension of downtown. And you could argue that it already was an extension of downtown. I mean, whatever, however you want to look at it, but certainly it's creating some tension among some community members that are just a little concerned about the design of these buildings and whether it's going to really just change the character. And I guess one of the most common complaints you heard so far is you know, what is the infrastructure for this neighborhood really enough to handle all this new density? I mean, you bring thousands of jobs into this in big buildings into a neighborhood where there aren't a ton of wide streets, wide sidewalks, things that would be more conducive to large office buildings. And, you know, people are concerned about, you know, we're just boxing ourselves in here. I mean, how are people going to get around? And so there's a lot of different opinions on how that actually is going to play out. Whether you talk to residents or developers or Alderman Burnett, who has dealt with this for a while. And, you know, it's just the tension that we kind of knew was going to be coming. And it's I guess, inevitable when you have such a fast changing neighborhood like this one.
And where does Alderman Burnett land on this? It seems like for the most part, he has stayed pretty neutral of like, I acknowledge that there are some issues, we can work through them, but I'm also very excited about this happening. It seems like he's kind of balanced that pretty well so far, but is he also sharing concerns for infrastructure, parking, and, you know, all of these things that the residents are starting to grumble about a bit?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, I was talking for the story, and I guess the big takeaway was that he doesn't mind the density. You know, he kind of has accepted that there's going to be some height. He really wants these developers to work with neighborhood groups to kind of figure out some ways around some community benefits that they might be able to kind of exchange for some of these larger buildings. But, you know, I think he said that he thinks there's the changing nature of office buildings and employees, especially how they're going to get there. He doesn't think there's going to be as many people parking, you know, driving and parking as people are concerned there may be to some of these buildings. And then more than anything, you know, he kind of sort of turned this and said, look, I'm the alderman for the 27th ward and for this community, but, you know, he looks at this as, you know, the city is in a huge, you know, budget hole with unfunded pension liability that they need to find a way to grow themselves out of. And so, you know, his viewpoint on this was effectively, you know, if this is the neighborhood where economic development in our city is going to happen and happen quickly, so be it. And if that means bigger buildings, okay. You know, he's kind of looking at this, taking a little bit of more broad view, saying maybe our neighborhood is going to be the hot one that helps growth, helps companies, helps bring more jobs to the city. And it's sort of a trade-off for him that he would rather take that than, you know, even if it means you know, buildings that maybe block some people's views and change the sunlight in some of the area.
Oh man, I'd be so mad if I had this gorgeous view of downtown and suddenly this big high rise went in. Man.
Yeah.
But that happens. It happens all the time. So how many buildings kind of are on the are up for debate right now?
You've got probably about a half dozen or so. I mean, that's you know, there's one, well, there's a couple that have kind of rolled out in the last 6 weeks or so. There's an 18-story office building at 1111 West Carroll. It's about a block and a half from west of the Google building, if you know it. You know, that's actually it would be a kind of an interesting one. That would be tech company accelerator, basically with Tech Nexus and Ocean Tomo teaming up on something there. There's another one about a block south of there. It would be a 21 story office building and a 17 story hotel. Sterling Bay has pitched a couple more office buildings right next to Google. One of them is 18 stories, and then further west, you've got a big apartment building proposed that would be another, you know, 20 stories over at Ogden and Randolph. I mean, it's a number of them, and they're popping up, and I don't think we're done yet. We still have some more properties that have been proposed. I mean, there was one that was proposed a couple years ago by a group, and it hasn't really gone through the full community process, that would be a full block, like the 1300 block of Carroll, full block development that would reach 20 stories as well. So, I mean, this is kind of becoming the new standard, and you've got a bunch of them now. Whether or not any of these actually come to fruition, we don't know, but they're on paper and they're going through the community process. And so it's kind of a lot of concern among some residents and a lot of developers watching closely to see, you know, which ones these get built. The other one, and I should mention this too, 900 West Randolph Street. It's the corner of Peoria and Randolph. Related Midwest, which is one of the, you know, more prolific developers around town, they are the group behind the 78 in the South Loop. They proposed a 51-story condo building early last year, so it's been a while that it's been on the books. And there was some neighborhood pushback to it. They dropped it down to 43 stories. One group asked them to go even shorter than that. And so there's this concern about, okay, well, if we allow one of these, if we allow 43 stories here, you know, the 900 block of Randolph isn't exactly up against the skyline. How can we deny other developers a certain amount of height? So there's a lot of slippery slope concern among some residents there in the West Loop. And that's kind of where this tension comes up.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Well, I've said before on the podcast, I don't think even in a year, 5 years, certainly not 10, we'll even recognize that area of how it looks now. But absolutely. I guess that's how it is everywhere. Neighborhoods shift and change, and we got to roll with it. So
sure, and especially, you know, when you're this long into an economic growth cycle, and, you know, economy's still strong and interest rates are still low, developers want to develop. So there's a lot of change happening all over the city, but none more more prominent than in Fulton Market.
Certainly. I feel like developers going to develop has got to be a hashtag or something at some point. All right. Thanks so much for being with us today. We shall keep turning to you for the latest, as I'm sure very fast moving things continue in Fulton Market.
Sounds good. Thanks, Amy.
All right. Thanks so much. Acura Pharmaceuticals has announced they've secured financing to pursue a combination pain relief and overdose protection in one medication. Palatine-based Acura Pharma says they've made an agreement with Abuse Deterrent Pharmaceuticals, which is a Kentucky-based company representing a group of investors that'll finance Acura's development of LTX-03 immediate release tablets using Acura's LimitX technology. LimitX is meant to be a pain relief product that provides overdose protection by limiting high peak levels of drugs, according to a company statement. The agreement grants Abuse Deterrent Pharma exclusive commercialization rights to the tablet in the U.S. Deutsche Bank shares tumbled earlier after announcing Sunday that it was abandoning its global trading ambitions and cutting as many as 18,000 jobs in a retreat from a long-held ambition to make its struggling investment bank a force on Wall Street. The cuts began in their offices in cities around the globe this morning as it began the staffing reduction in a 7.4 billion euro or $8.3 billion quote, reinvention. Shares in Deutsche Bank, which has over 90,000 staff members around the world, erased early gains and were down after its finance chief flagged, quote, significant uncertainty over breaking even in 2020. Coming up, an exclusive look at Jim Belushi's new role in the marijuana business. More on that story after this word from our sponsor. Running a small business comes with hard work, a fair amount of stress, and a lot of responsibility. Wintrust believes you shouldn't have to manage that alone. The company's small business bankers are true partners. They get to know the business they work with so they can offer personalized support and tools that help owners reach their long-term goals. If you're looking for a true banking partner, you've found one. Visit Wintrust.com to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Jim Belushi's next TV project is a reality show about his latest passion, the marijuana business. After Oregon legalized cannabis a few years ago, Belushi began farming. Now he wants Belushi Farms to go national using the well-known Blues Brothers brand and building a serious company. A key test of his growth strategy will be getting into stores in his home state of Illinois when recreational marijuana goes legal next year. And he says he's serious about plans to drive a replica of the Bluesmobile topped with a joint instead of a giant PA speaker on Lake Street under the L train to mark the occasion. Although Belushi and his 93-acre farm outside Medford, Oregon already were the subject of a short series on the DIY network, he says Live Nation has agreed to finance a reality TV show about his new life as a weedpreneur that's due out next year on cable. Belushi's ambitions reflect the rapid evolution of marijuana into a big business. early players in what was a highly regulated, slow-moving medical cannabis industry are now scrambling to build consumer brands for a market that's expected to explode. His focus on Illinois underscores the sixth largest state's importance, both as a major retail market and as an industry hub that's home to four of the largest cannabis companies. More on this exclusive story at Crane's Chicago Business. I'm Amy Guth, and until tomorrow, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thanks so much to producer Haima Black. Be sure to find breaking news, data, analysis, and lots more at chicagobusiness.com. And find me on Twitter, and let's continue the conversation with hashtag Crane's Daily Gist. We'll see you tomorrow.